From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, The Division of the Land, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Not Forgotten. The text is Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 21. Thou art my servant, O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. Our Jehovah cannot so forget his servants as to cease to love them. He chose them not for a time, but forever. He knew what they would be when he called them into the divine family. He blots out their sins like a cloud, and we may be sure that he will not turn them out of doors for iniquities which he has blotted out. It would be blasphemy to imagine such a thing. He will not forget them so as to cease to think of them. One forgetful moment on the part of our God would be our ruin. Therefore, he says, Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. Men forget us. Those whom we have benefited turn against us. We have no abiding place in the fickle hearts of men. But God will never forget one of his true servants. He binds himself to us not by what we do for him, but by what he has done for us. We have been loved too long and bought at too great a price to be now forgotten. Jesus sees in us his soul's travail, and that he never can forget. The Father sees in us the spouse of his Son, and the Spirit sees in us his own effectual work. The Lord thinketh upon us. This day we shall be succored and sustained. Oh, that the Lord may never be forgotten of us.
Just stay, my count was lost, and my hands are done.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. Joshua chapter 13, verses 6 and 7, and the opening verses of chapter 14, the Lord gave Joshua instructions about the allotment of the land to the various tribes. As Dr. Cairns will point out, part of the reason for these directions was so that each tribe would know exactly what belonged to them. This would keep the children of Israel from fighting among themselves rather than fighting the enemy. In applying this narrative to the church, Dr. Cairns will emphasize the themes of unity among believers, as well as of the diversity in God's sovereign distribution of gifts among His people. First of all, we'll see that the Lord's provision for His church is perfect. Each believer is ideally placed to carry out God's will for his life. Now to commence this message called The Division of the Land, here is Dr. Cairns.
We're turning this morning to the book of Joshua, chapter 13. We're going to read verses 6 and 7, and then take up the reading in the first five verses of chapter 14. Joshua, chapter 13, verses 6 and 7, and then 14, verse 1. All the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon unto Misrephoth-Maim, and all the Zidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. Now therefore, divide this land for an inheritance unto the 9 tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the 9 tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of 2 tribes and a half tribe on the other side Jordan. But unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, a sea of cities to dwell in with their suburbs, for their cattle and for their substance. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to these verses from his word for his name's sake. Joshua chapter 13 begins the account of the division of the land of Canaan by lot to the children of Israel. First, we are told of the settlement of the territory east of Jordan upon the 2 1/2 tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh. It took place toward the end of Moses' life. Then, second, we are introduced to the Lord's particular arrangements for the tribe of Levi. The Levites were not given any particular tract of territory in the land, as the other tribes were. Rather, they were allocated cities and their suburbs throughout all the tribes. And then third, we learn of the various allotments which Joshua made west of Jordan on the rest of the tribes, the 9 1/2 remaining tribes. Now, this was a very important time for the tribes of Israel. They could very easily have fallen into disputes and divisions over territory. That's normal. It's natural when people, whether they be individuals, families, tribes or nations, come to split up territory or riches, they always seem to get into dispute and division. That's why the Lord commanded that the land be allocated by lot, by divine allotment, and not merely by the choice of the tribes. One tribe could very, very easily have fallen into the sin of envying another. And very soon, the tribes of Israel would have been fighting each other instead of continuing to fight the real enemy. Now, since that seems to be exactly what has happened among too many of God's people nowadays in various parts of the church, by that I mean they seem to have fallen into disputes and needless divisions. They seem to fall into envying one another. We are facing, sadly, in Bible-believing churches, Bible-believing denominations in various parts of the fundamental and the reformed and the evangelical camps, we are facing the situation of Christians fighting Christians, while the real enemy goes untouched, uncontested, sweeping to victory. Since that seems to be what has happened, I think we can learn a great deal from the Lord's division of the land to the people of God in Joshua's day. Now, as you look at the land and its division to the tribes of Israel, you will realize that all Israel could say, as the psalmist did many years later, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage." All Israel, from whatever tribe and whatever family in that tribe, could give that as their testimony. And yet the particular inheritance of each tribe, though equally divinely allotted, was different and distinct from all the rest. So that we can see two themes running through this part of the book of Joshua. There is obviously the theme of unity, but there is equally the theme of diversity. So today I want us to take a general view of the division of the land. And I want us to see in it the Lord's sovereign distribution of His gifts to His people. And we think fundamentally of three things. First, the Lord's provision. Because the Lord made abundant provision for all His people in the land that He had promised. He made abundant provision for all Israel in the land of promise. So let's think then of His provision. And we remark first that it is perfect. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and again in chapter 10, the Lord gave Moses a glorious description of the land of Canaan. It is a description, by the way, that has still great spiritual significance for the people of God, because in spiritual terms, it describes what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord told Moses of this land that flowed with milk and honey, this land of hills and of valleys, this land of the former and the latter rain, the land of God's great provision for His covenant people. Now that Joshua had led the Israelites into Canaan, all Israel could claim to be living in the fulfillment of Deuteronomy chapter 8 and chapter 10. None of them lacked any good thing. Each tribe of Israel was perfectly provided for. Each tribe of Israel was ideally placed to serve the Lord according to His will. You know, that reminds me of some great New Testament scriptures regarding the perfect provision which the Lord has made for all His blood-bought and covenant people. We remember again, I say again because this is a text I love to quote, the words of Ephesians 1 and verse 3, "He had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." We think of the words of Peter in his first epistle when he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Peter returns to this theme in the first chapter of his second epistle, where he says, "His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." My, this is the Lord's perfect provision for His people. He has given us a perfect Christ. There is no fault in Jesus Christ. He is God of very God, and yet man of very man. And as the God-man, He is our perfect Redeemer. He is the Mediator who satisfies God and reconciles men unto God in His own body and by His own precious blood. He has given us a perfect Savior. In that Savior, He has given us a perfect salvation. A salvation answerable to all the needs of the entire man. A salvation that is good now in time. A salvation that will stand the challenge of the day of our death. A salvation that will withstand the scrutiny of God's fiery glance on the judgment day. And the salvation that is good in heaven for all eternity. Thank God He has given us a perfect Savior, and He has given us a perfect salvation in Christ. And all Christians have all that is in Christ equally. All Christians are equally justified before God. All Christians enjoy an equal acceptance with God. An equal covering by the blood of Christ's atonement. An equal clothing in the garments of Christ's righteousness. We all have from Him an equal access to God. Every one of us in Christ has the divine scepter stretched toward us and a welcome at the throne of our God. Thank God we can say, as the Israelites could say, we have come into our Canaan. We have come into Christ. We have come into the land of promise, the land of God's provision. And that provision is perfect. The Lord's provision was not only perfect, but also plentiful. We see in Canaan a tremendous fullness. I've referred to the passages in Deuteronomy. There the Lord was at pains to emphasize to Moses not only the perfection, but the plenty of the land of Canaan. This was not a land where they would have to pump water as the Egyptians had to do. This was a land plentifully endowed by the gracious hand of God. Thank God, in Christ we have the promise, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. The Lord who gives grace also gives glory. With the psalmist, every Christian has to say, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits. He daily loadeth us with benefits. There is the idea, obviously, of plenty. I sometimes think, when I read that 68th Psalm, that the greatest burden God places on the shoulders of His people is the weight of His benefits and the weight of His blessings.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.